The gospel today is all about prayer, and today we'll just go over three really quick points. So the desire to pray, or at least the desire that the disciples showed that they want to know how to pray, and we'll talk about the assurance from Jesus on the efficacy of prayer, and then we'll talk really briefly about some of the elements of prayer that Christ spoke about. So the first thing I wanted to talk about today was how it was really interesting how the disciples expressed a desire to learn how to pray. It starts off by saying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." That was Luke in verse 1 from chapter 11. One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so I think an interesting question to start with today is, what prompted that question? What actually made the disciple ask, "Lord, teach us to pray"? And there's a clue in the gospel, actually. Can anyone give me an answer? What's the clue in the gospel that prompted the disciple to ask, "Lord, teach us to pray"? Sorry? Well, it's interesting. So that's actually what you might initially think, that the answer was John's disciples taught to pray. But I don't think that that's the answer, because I'll get to it in a second. Any other ideas? What prompted them to ask that question? What initiated it? What happened just before they asked that question? What happened? Anyone remember from the gospel? Sorry. No. Even actually, just in today's reading, so we don't share notes at home. In fact, if you read the very beginning of that verse, so which is today's gospel, it starts off by saying, "Now it came to pass, as he," which is Jesus, "now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' as John also taught his disciples." So Christ was praying, and then when he stopped praying, one of the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." So it was Christ's prayer, and either the scene of Christ praying, or the scene of Christ returning from prayer, or the amount of time he spent in prayer, or what they saw from him when he was praying, he's right. What they saw from him when he was praying, that prompted the question. They saw Christ praying, and then they said, "Teach us to pray." They saw something. Maybe they saw the Lord leave after a very hard day of preaching and healing and extremely tired, and maybe they saw him return in strength and power. And they looked at him and said, "Teach us to do that." Maybe they saw him have a day full of conflict and attacks and personal attacks on Jesus, and they saw how disturbing that would be, and they watched him go off and pray and return in complete peace and tranquility and joy. Maybe they saw him leave while the crowds wanted to make him king, and they saw him return in humility and with a really strong sense of the mission that he had to do, his earthly mission, which was not to be an earthly king. Maybe they just saw him actually in prayer, really communing with the Father. Maybe they saw that. In their prayer, maybe it was dry and dead, and they saw the Lord in prayer really enjoying his prayer, not wanting it to end, praying for hours. Maybe they watched him pray and they could see that in his prayer he was actually having a conversation. He was in communion with the Father. They must have seen something. In his prayer they must have seen something. And on his return, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." An example would be if you're trying to lose weight and you had a friend who all of a sudden you see them after a few months and they've lost a lot of weight And you want that as well. You might say, what have you... That'd be the first thing you'd say, what did you do? Like, which technique? What have you done? Teach me what you've done to get like this. I would like to be like that too. And that's what the disciples said to the Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. So I think the first really brief point for us today is this desire, to have this desire. The disciples had that desire, and we should have that desire to ask the Lord, teach us to pray. If we feel that our prayer is not like that, it's not a communion with the Father, it's not a relationship, it's not effectual, it's not life-giving, we feel that it's dead and just a necessary practice, or in fact not happening at all, we need to start today by learning from the disciples how they had a desire to pray, not out of guilt, not out of obligation, not out of a need for something. They didn't say, teach us to pray so that we can heal the sick and be really popular and powerful. They just saw the impact on Jesus and they said, teach us to do that. We want to do that. So our first point for today is to have that desire to pray, that desire to be fulfilled in our human life. The Lord created us to commune with Him. We, in fact, are only really fulfilling our human life to be truly human, not be godly. To be human is to commune with the Father in that way, in every aspect of our life, and prayer is critical. So today, I think our first point is we need to be like the disciples to have that desire, to have that thirst to learn how to pray. The second point I thought we might talk about today is, does prayer work? That's on our lips all the time. Does prayer actually work? Is it really possible that we lift up our hearts to the Lord and the Lord really does hear and things happen? Is that how it works? Does it really work? Is it effectual? Does God really hear and does He respond to our prayers? Does that really happen? And the Lord gives a really interesting parable today in this gospel. He said in response, because He's saying, you have to pray. When you pray, do this. And you can see the disciples must be thinking, yeah, but does God really listen? And God says, well, listen to this story. A man had a friend come and stay at night and he had no food. And so at midnight, he went to his other friend and knocked on the door and called out and said, I have a guest. I need 3 loaves of bread. Give me some bread. And the Lord said that this man, this friend, is inside the house. He's in bed. His kids are in bed. And he's closed up the door. I imagine closing up the door back then wasn't just a lock. Maybe they would move some furniture across the room and put it up against the door. So to open the door, it's a big deal. The whole house will wake. It's not like we are now. We're all in separate rooms. For them to do that, the whole house must wake up in order for him. And he says that man does not want to get out of bed and won't do it because it's his friend. He won't do it for that reason. He's not going to get out of bed because it's his friend that's asking. But he will get out of bed because the man, he says, if I don't, this is just going to keep going on. So I'm going to get out of bed. He says, he doesn't get out of bed because it's his friend. He gets out of bed because it's the only way to stop this from going on. There's another parable that's very similar to this parable. Can anyone think of what it is? It wasn't mentioned in today's gospel. Another parable is very similar to this one with a similar message. No, I don't think so. Did you say the ruler? Sorry?
The crumbs?
No, the Syrophoenician woman? No, I don't think so. No, because that was an actual story. But there was actually a parable. Christ told a different story, a parable, in another gospel that's very similar to this one. Any takers? Yeah, the persistent widow. Or, in fact, the parable of the... We don't compare it. the parable of the unjust judge. It's called the parable of the unjust judge. So it's very similar to this one. A lady, she's a widow, someone has wronged her, and she goes to the judge. And it says that the judge is unjust. It says, in fact, he does not regard neither God nor man. He doesn't care about God, and he doesn't care about men. He's an unjust judge. He cares about himself. And the woman goes to him and says, you have to right me this wrong. This person has wronged me. You have to defend me. You have to right this wrong. And it says, even though the judge doesn't care about God and doesn't care about man, because of her persistence, he answers her request. He acts. And there's a real danger, actually, in reading these parables and looking at it completely the wrong way. Unfortunately, sometimes we hear this and we think that God is like the friend who is inside the house in bed with the kids. And we think God doesn't want to get up. He doesn't want to get out of bed. He doesn't want to open the door. He doesn't want to. But if I persist, he'll do it. That's not the message. That's actually not the message at all. This is not a parable of likes where the father, you know, in the to the prodigal son, the father and the prodigal son, that's a parable of likes. Jesus says the father is like this father. He is like that. But in this parable, it's a parable of contrasts. He is not saying, I am like the friend in bed who doesn't want to get out of bed, but I'll do it if you persist. He's not saying, I am like the unjust judge. I really don't want to help you, but if you push me, I'll help you. This is a parable of contrasts. He says, the friend who doesn't want to help will help. Imagine me. I want to help. The one who doesn't want to help will help. But imagine the person who really wants to help. The unjust judge doesn't care about God or man. He will act. Imagine me. I care about justice and righteousness and your suffering. I really feel for your suffering. If he's going to do something, imagine me. This is an exercise in contrast. The Lord is so much more than those others, and even those others will act. Don't you think that the Lord will act? So a question for today is, does prayer really work? Well, you know, in this passage, he starts off one of the verses by saying, I say to you, ask and you will be given. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. He says, I say to you. He lends his own authority. You know, in other versions, it's amen, amen, I say to you, or verily, verily, I say to you, assuredly, I say to you. He's using his own authority. I say to you, ask and you'll be given. Is it possible that the Lord would institute prayer and instruct us to pray and use his own authority, saying, I say to you, ask and you'll be given? Is it possible that he would instruct us in this way for something which is ineffectual, for something which has no actual impact, for something which really is a waste of time, for something which really is just words from the mouth and has no impact on the Father? Is that possible? He would instruct us to do that. The Creator of heaven and earth says, I say to you, ask and you'll be given. The sustainer of all things, by whom and through him and in whom all things exist, says, I say to you, ask. So in his authority, he's assuring us that if we ask, we will receive. But the final point for today, as I'm sure the point on everyone's lips is ask for what? We've all asked for things and not had our prayers answered. Everyone here in this church will have done that. Maybe 10,000 times. We've all prayed for something and it hasn't happened. A job application, exam results, health of ourselves or health of a loved one. We've all asked for something, you know, that parking spot, just want that parking spot, and it hasn't happened. Is that what the Lord is saying? Is that what the Lord is saying? Ask for anything. Ask for anything and you'll have it if you have faith. And of course the answer is no. Here he says, you know, when I said it's an exercise in contrasts, where he said, you know, he's not like the friend and he's not like the unjust judge. He says at the very end of this reading today, he says, which of you, having a child, and the child asks for them an egg, will give them a scorpion? And then he shows the contrast. He says, if you, very powerful words, if you, being evil, you know, it's very harsh words, but if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more your Father in heaven? He's showing the contrast. He's not saying, you know, if you and your rubbish, and then also the Father is going to be, you know. So if you being evil, but he doesn't say if you being evil know how to give good gifts, the Father's going to lavish you with anything. He says if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your Heavenly Father will give what? What does the Gospel say? Sorry? Yeah, will give the Holy Spirit. How much more your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. He's not saying ask for anything and the Lord will give you. The Lord says ask for spiritual matters as if... So our earthly parents, you ask for food, they'll give you food. Our Heavenly Father is saying you ask for something heavenly. And if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Heavenly Father? Now, a couple of things to say about that. Does this mean the Lord doesn't care about our other requests, our spiritual, our physical needs, the job, the health, you know, the exam results? Does He not care? Of course He cares. His whole earthly ministry, He went about healing and feeding. He would see someone in front of Him who was sick, and He was moved to heal them. It was His nature. He saw someone sick and He was moved. Sometimes He wasn't even asked. He would just heal because He was moved to heal them. So does this mean He doesn't care? Of course He cares. But what it means is that when we ask for physical things, the Lord might not see it the best thing for us. Or He might not see the best thing for us now. Or He might not see that we're ready for that or that we're in a state for that. Or He might have something much, much better planned for us. It's to say that in asking for something physical, it doesn't necessarily mean the Lord will do it because it may not be good for us at all to have it done. The second point is that what if you're very hopeful in hearing that the Lord has said He will listen to your prayers and your prayers are effectual and He is so much better than the unjust judge and so much better than the friend who doesn't want to get out of bed. And then I say to you, but He says it's for spiritual things, and you go, oh, you know, what? Like, build me up and then say, oh, He's just going to give you spiritual things. What if that's really disappointing to you? That signifies a problem. That means there's a problem. If that's really disappointing to you, then that means there is a problem. It means that the spiritual, in fact, is not, you have no hunger for it. That's a problem. You will not be alone in that. And that's a stage for all of us. And that's a struggle for all of us. But it can let you know that you're maybe missing the point. That if in your prayer request it's physical things of this world, and you're not asking for salvation, forgiveness, for the virtues, for repentance, for a soft heart, to help your service, to help you in your Christian way, to protect you from the devil, if those are things that you don't ask for, but you're just asking for physical, then yeah, prayer for you will be very dead. It will be very dry. It will be a feeling like it's a waste of time, and in fact, it might be a waste of time. It may well be a waste of time. And my last point for today is look very quickly at the prayer that the Lord gave them. He gave them a short prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We say it 1,000 times a day. Look very, very quickly at some of the things that he told them to pray about. You want to learn how to pray, he said to the disciples. You want to know what to talk about with the Lord. You want to know what to ask for. Have a look at the spiritual things that the Lord said in really quick terms. He said, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That might be like saying, "Lord, let your will be done in me." Who asks that in their prayer? Or do we just ask for physical things? He said, "Your will be done on earth." You could say to the Lord, "Lord, teach me to be obedient." Do you ask for spiritual things? Maybe ask for obedience. Maybe let that be part of your prayer. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." I don't want to go into it and I don't know enough about it, but it is said that this is not actually asking for physical daily bread. This is asking for your spiritual daily sustenance. Fill me, Lord, daily with my spiritual food that I need. Open the word to me when I open the Bible. Let my heart be lifted up when I pray to you. Reveal yourself to me. Give us this day our daily bread. He says in the prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses. Who stands before the Lord and says, "Lord, forgive me my many sins"? Look at the way we ask for the intercession of the saints. Most people, when they ask for intercession of the saints, "Oh, St. Mary, help me in this. Help me in my work. Help me in this project. Help me with my health. Help me in this exam." That's not what we pray in the Mass. We say, through the pleadings of the saints, pray to the Lord to what? Forgive us our sins. Who asks the saints to pray for that? Who asks the saints to pray for that? He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. So you could pray, "Lord, give me that sense of forgiveness, the spirit of forgiveness of others. Help me to forgive those around." Who prays about that? Or do we just say, "Lord, give me this, give me that, help me with this, stop that problem"? He's teaching us to pray. And ultimately at the end, he says, "Deliver us from evil." And he is saying, ask for your salvation. Who prays about that every day? "Lord, may I be saved. Help me, Lord, to be saved. Save me, Lord, from this world. Save me, Lord, from myself. Save me, Lord, from the devil. May I, Lord, on the last day be deemed worthy of salvation." So just to summarize for today, we see in the disciples, when they looked at the Lord and the way he prayed, they had a desire to pray. They had a desire to pray because they saw what prayer was to the Lord and the impact that prayer had on the Lord. May we have that same desire, that same thirst, that same hunger for prayer and for the spiritual aspects of prayer, that prayer might be real and alive and a real communion and a real relationship and a real discussion and relationship with the Lord. And I pray that certainly for myself, and glory be to God forever. Amen.